Welcome to Listen to Older Voices, a program produced for Uniting Melbourne and broadcast through the Community Radio Network. It's always a pleasure to bring you through their stories, life and times of older people in our community. All very interesting, all very different, and all very entertaining. Rob Greaves here, and thank you for joining Marie Earle and myself for the third and final part of her story on this, the award-winning program of Listen to Older Voices. Over the past two programs, we've learned that Marie is a confident, outspoken, and intelligent woman. Born in 1926, she was brought up in a loving environment with the family well looked after by her father, who was a butcher and owned his own business. Now, while Marie worked in her father's business, in the end, she sought a working life elsewhere. However, with the advent of World War II, circumstances brought a young soldier, Gerard Earle, into her life. And at the end of the war, she and Gerard marry and take over the butcher's shop. In fact, they worked together for some 27 years. Her story is informative and entertaining. This week, we learn how she got the travel bug, taking holidays without Gerard, who had to look after the family business. With the passing of her husband, Marie kept her travelling up, and she regales us with many tales of her travels. But it doesn't end there, as we learn also that she had a life as a local councillor. We pick up now with both of us discussing Marie's fitness. I mean, okay, I know the aging process, we start aching and paining and little bits start falling off. But I have to say, you look very vital for your age. You look very alive still.
Yes.
What do you put that down to?
I don't know. I did do Tai Chi for quite 15 or 16 years.
Oh, that's quite a lengthy time.
Mm.
And
And I was doing Tai Chi and swords and fans and poles, everything.
Mm. You have kept yourself fit then.
Oh, no, so I wonder if that's it.
Would say it certainly didn't hurt.
No.
You and Gerard working hard in the shop, did you ever get a chance to go on a holiday?
It was really that ruthless, wasn't it? That's why when I did retire and finish up going overseas, Christine was overseas and she rang me and she said, Mum, come over. Christmas time, you know, if you can get in for free and everything's lovely in London, so I did.
And that was your first trip overseas? Was that with Gerard?
No, that was me. He wouldn't go. He didn't like... He didn't like planes. He could have come home from Meraki in a plane, but he...
So you suddenly just up and go over to London?
Yes.
That was an adventure.
Oh, wonderful.
How old were you then?
61. I had my 61st birthday.
So you go back to London, your grandmother came from London.
Yes, she was a Cockney, yes.
Born
within the sound of the bow bells.
Oh.
And I get to London and I'm...
You felt it, did you?
I didn't want to come back.
Yes. What did you enjoy most?
Everything. And she also had a house. I think it was the bouncing Czechs. They were here. They were a little group of English people, and they had a band and something they used to do at the that place in Collingwood. One of them, Christine gave him. He had her car here, and she had his home in Tufnell Park.
Oh, how fabulous!
So of course. There was another girl there, Christine, and another lass. They were sharing, and then Christine said, "Mum, come over. I've got a place for you to stay. Come, and it's wonderful, you know. And you can go to places that's not crowded in the winter time." I think I must have gone on New Year's Eve.
Oh, how lovely!
I left here on New Year's Eve, and I remember walking down the first day when. The next day, you know, and after I'd arrived, and we're singing, "Who will buy this wonderful morning?" Oh, just those rooftops of the houses, walking down Tufnell Park, just magic. I couldn't believe. And then I'm by myself, and the girls are working that mm-hmm. I'm living with.
Yes.
So here am I going out all day. It was freezing cold. So mm-hmm. Christine said, "Now you better have a decent breakfast." So I'd have something hot to eat for breakfast, some porridge or something. And then out I'd go, and I wouldn't come home till about 11 o'clock.
Oh, you stay out. You just like the adventure.
Oh, I'd get on a bus and just go somewhere.
Just drop, just let go, yes.
I went down to York.
Did you have a favourite part, though, of the country that you saw? Was there some part that really stood out?
Went to Wales and stayed at Betsercoed for a week. Right. I went to Malta.
Oh,
because, you know,
you're
walking along the thing, and then here's for some ridiculous amount of money you can have 2 weeks in Malta. So, of course, I did that, and then...
What was that like? What was Malta like? Because I haven't been to Malta.
Oh, I've been to Malta twice.
Oh, you do like it then?
3 times. Well, I've got friends in Gozo. Right. And this first time that I went, this Maltese gentleman, he had a butcher shop in Gaiman Street.
Oh, goodness.
And when he sold, well, he didn't sell, he walked out of his business. Jared had 2 holidays while he was in the butcher shop for the 27 yeah. years. But Greg, this Maltese gentleman, he would come and be the butcher, and I didn't have the holiday with Jared. He had it by himself because, you know, I was needed.
And somebody had to be the shop. Yes.
So this particular gentleman is this Maltese gentleman, just the loveliest man. So they're our real friends, you know, and his wife and 2 children. So when I went to Malta, Greg found out, you know, that I was in Malta, and he said, "Oh, you're in Malta, go to Gozo." So over I go to Gozo, which you've got to go by a ferry to this little tiny little place that's mm-hmm. about 7 miles long and wide. And it's just beautiful. It's got the most Stone Age thing in Gozo that we've got on the planet.
It's just a lot of ancient.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah.
Right.
It's full of antiquity.
History. Mm. Yes. Yes.
And it's wonderful. So anyhow, I go over to Gozo. I was on the bus going over to get to the ferry. We had to go leave from Valletta or somewhere to get to this place. And as this couple are getting in, they had a pusher and a child, and I said to them, "Look, put the pusher here." And when we got to the ferry, and when we get to Gozo, this gentleman says to me, "Well, look, I've got a car here. Where are you going?" And I said, "I'm going to Victoria." And another gentleman says, "Look, I'm going to Victoria. You're not." Like, there's all little suburbs, different places.
Yep.
And he said, "I'll take the lady to Victoria." And he did, and took me right there to where I was going.
Oh, how lovely.
And I thought, how gorgeous.
Yes, yes, indeed.
And another day I'm walking along, and I'm by myself, and I'm in the cliffs around Gozo, and this car pulls up for me, and they've got one, and it's raining, and they've got one space in the car, so they pull up for me. So then we're talking, and he said, "Oh, where are you from?" And I said, "Australia." He said, "Oh, my cousin lives in Australia." I said, "Where, Melbourne?" "Yes." "Where about?" "Yarraville."
Oh, you're kidding. Oh, come on. I know it's a small world, but that's ridiculous, isn't it?
Isn't it?
That is quite ridiculous. Goodness
me. Oh, wonderful.
Yes. So you're fairly well travelled then.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Why do you think there's nothing here?
Oh, okay. Hey, I reckon the experience is worth it. That's right.
What, get a new lounge suite or
go overseas. Oh, I love your attitude to life. That's fabulous.
I always think, when I go, you won't have seen where I've been. Oh, no. And when I got to London, and I'm 61, and there's this lady, and she's got, a little thing of flowers. So I take it, I didn't realise she's, I paid her, but I thought it was just lovely. Yes. Somebody offering me
a gift
on my birthday. I think it was my birthday.
Well, that's bloody right.
Oh, lovely. I just loved it. And the theatre. Oh. And another time I went back to London, I was there for 5 days and I saw 5 shows.
You really grab life by the throat, don't you?
Yes.
You take every advantage of every opportunity you get.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's what living's about, isn't it?
Yes. You know, I get to London and, of course, you can't... Didn't know where I was. And on the first time, the police were wonderful. And I said to the gentleman, oh, I've lost Covent Garden. He said, oh, you're close. Yes. It was just lovely. And then it was wonderful. One day I'm walking along the street and somebody asks me for something and I knew exactly where it was.
Well,
that's lovely.
Yes, now you're starting to be a local.
Yes. Yeah,
yes.
And then Christine, she would get the bread, bring home the bread from the cafe, the stale bread. And then I'd go down to the Serpentine and I would feed the ducks and the birds.
Yes. Coming back to Gerard. When did he pass away?
At 70.
At 70. Mm. That was pretty young,
he
really.
Had lung cancer.
Oh, okay.
See, in those days, he was with one of the... Doug Ring, I think his name was with one of the Australian cricketers mm-hmm. who was there. And Doug didn't smoke and Gerard didn't drink. So Gerard would give him his 2 bottles of beer and Doug would give him his smokes. So, of course, he got lung...
Was it the war that started him smoking?
Well, I suppose so, because he was only 17 when he went into the army.
Yes.
And that made me a war widow.
Yes.
With a gold card.
Well, that's not really adequate compensation for losing a husband, but it's better than nothing, isn't it?
But then when you think... 2 old people together, it's not nice. I mean, better for one of you to go. I think it might have been better if I'd have gone. Christine would have loved looking after her father because they could have smoked and drank.
I think I'll let that one go to the keeper. But it must have left a bit of a hole in your life, though, when he did pass away, for all things being equal.
At that particular time, I had just come off the council. I'd been a councillor, local councillor.
Mm. How long?
Well, of course, when you...
Oh, this is a story I didn't know about.
When you retire, you know, I'm 58 and I retire.
Which is pretty young, really.
Yes, but because... Gerard could retire at 60.
Exactly.
And I could retire at the same time, you see. So we went on to the war pension then. But, so then, well, first of all, Geraldine was a councillor. And now how did I joined? Oh, that's right. I joined the Labor Party, didn't I? That's right. Because when you're in business, you're not anything. If they're... Liberals, you're a liberal, you don't. That's your customers, that's your livelihood.
Yes.
You are all things to all men.
I absolutely have to be.
When you've got to be.
You've got to be, yes.
And in those, this, and it was pretty personal, all of your friends. Well, we used to have the Master Butchers Association thing come out, they play a pamphlet, and it's in that it says, make friends of your customers. Not customers of your friends. That's the golden rule of business. It's gone out the window.
Oh, and how?
Now, with all of these things, if you got to start with your relations and your friends, with Amway and all those sort of things, terrible. Yeah. How life's changed.
And you've tuned into Listen to Older Voices, promoting positive ageing.
I'm Rob Greaves, and I'm talking with Marie Earle. And Marie is reflecting on some of her working life and the changes that she's seen during that time. Just go back to the council business. So you decided you'd like to become a councillor?
Well, no, I didn't.
Something back.
I joined the Labor Party, and I also joined a lot of things when I retired. Mm-hmm. I was on the committee of the neighbourhood house. I was running a walking club, We had used to have about 100 people go, and we'd have to go by train, you know. We had, once a month we'd go on a walk, so I was the secretary of that. I was in U3A, so when you go for anything like that, they always like you to be on some sort of committee. Well, of course, I joined the Labor Party, and they asked me to go, you know, because there was a, the Labor Party were losing the local government part. So they asked me to go, would I stand for council? When I gave them all of the things that I was on, they said,
they loved you.
We don't have to put you on anything, you know, you're already there. So, yes, I got into council for 3 years, and then I lost it because by that time Gerard was pretty sick, and I didn't have the time to
watch him. No.
Anyhow, it was 3 years, three very good years, I might tell you.
Do you feel like you made a difference while you're on the council?
Not a great deal, I don't think. I think you're a bit of a rubber stamp for, same as parliamentarians, obviously.
It's often said that it's not the councillors that run the council.
No, it's the people, and it's the public service that run the country.
Yes,
otherwise it wouldn't be running at the moment.
Well, some of us are a bit doubt that they're running it very well anyway, but we'll let that one go through to the keeper as well.
Oh, my goodness, yes. The whole world's changed so much, hasn't it?
Well, you mentioned that a few times. I was going to say to you, given your 90-plus years of age, you've lived through some amazing changes.
Yes, astonishing.
When you look back at those years, is it possible for you to identify what's been the biggest change or changes you've seen?
Oh,
or is
yes.
that too hard?
Oh, well, everything going to computers, you know, just astonishing. Yeah, what's the biggest thing? Well, I asked that of a lady when I was going for council and knocking on doors.
Right.
And I said to this 90-year-old lady, what's the biggest thing, Mrs. Murphy, to... That's Maloney. Maloney was the name. She said, well, the pill was the biggest thing.
The pill?
That let women, up until then, life was just a matter of month to month.
Luck.
Know? Luck. Yes.
So it really empowered women, didn't it?
Oh, that was the biggest, yes.
Do you know, I've asked that question over 15 years of so many people, and that is the first time somebody's answered with that one.
Is it? Well, yeah, that came from another 90-year-old lady.
And it makes sense to me. Totally, yes.
Yes.
Not all changes for the best. What have you seen that you think hasn't been a good change?
Well, that's the only good one.
That's a good one,
That really empowers women.
Yes.
The biggest change. You know, we've got too many people on the planet anyway. I could not understand how it really...
And we'd waste a lot, don't we?
Waste. The shocking waste. Astonishing.
Because, again, if you go back to the period when you were a young girl and even growing up, there was almost no waste. People used everything.
Everything.
Yes.
The bottle man came for everything. Yes.
Yes, but these days it's like a disposable society.
Yes. I think that's our downfall, is the shocking waste. Yeah. And to walk into a child's bedroom these days is like walking into Toys R Us. Every bedroom I've ever been in of a child's got that many toys, they don't know what to do with them.
Do you think they value them?
No. You don't value anything that you get as easily as that.
Yeah. And I don't think either of us are here to stick the boot into young people, but if you go back to your generation and even a couple of generations afterwards, you learnt how to respect things because you really had to work for them in one way or another, didn't you?
Yes, yes.
And they weren't just given to you. And your generation also manufactured its own things. You made your own toys and your own games.
Yes. But then, once again, children were seen and not heard. You know, we were a bit of a nuisance around the place.
Oh, yes.
Really.
Yes.
That's the biggest change, you know. Look out here. When the school's on, and the men that are taking their children to school, and it's a different, and the cars, the cars that line up to take children every morning, nobody walks to school.
Oh no, please, not even around the corner.
No.
No.
Well, this paranoia we've got that somebody's going to take them away. In the old days, mother and dad would be hard to
take them. When you look at the world and the way it's gone during your lifetime and the way it seems to be going in the future, do you have fears for future young generations of young people?
I can't see. You know, years ago I had an operation, and when I was coming out of it, I could see everything, that the whole universe, it's happened before and it'll happen again. This will go up in smoke. And then another one. And it's happened and happened and happened over billions of years.
The world can only sustain itself for so long before it just explodes, doesn't it?
I think it's on its way out.
Yes.
Really.
And we don't seem to be taking enough care of this planet.
No. Nobody's trying to do the things that they should be doing. Nobody's doing a thing.
A lot of talk, but no action.
Well, it is. Yes. Global warming. Well, when you think that some people don't even believe in it.
Sadly, a lot of important people don't believe in it.
Yes.
Yes. We have a Prime Minister who doesn't believe in it.
Oh, that's right.
Yes. Mm. We all know the weather changes, but when you look how violently it changes now and how quickly, you've got to be concerned. Mm. And again, you and I, at the best, we've got 10, 25 years to go. But when you look maybe 50, 75, 100 years later ahead, you think maybe there won't be anything if we keep going like this. What are we leaving our great-great-grandkids?
Grandchildren, no. Well, of course, the people who do think, that's the way they're railing against it too, aren't they? Mm. The ones that are thinking about their grandchildren. Mm. I'm thankful that I haven't got any grandchildren, to tell you the truth.
Yes, likewise, I have none either, yes.
And you've tuned into Listen to Older Voices. Turning back time. Turning back time. Turning back time. Turning back time. Turning back time.
Got some wonderful nieces, I might tell you, that love me dearly. And one of them came into U3A yesterday. And she said, I'll pick you up on Sunday and we'll go to Xavier's fourth birthday. Where does he live? Sunbury. Mm. Mm-hmm. So that's, and one of my other nieces, she got me the most wonderful, and I'll never forget her, she was just marvellous. She was friends of a woman who was an Egyptian teacher and had gone to Egypt a lot. And I wanted to go to Egypt. And this other woman wanted to go too. This woman was going to take a crowd to Egypt, this woman who taught at CAE. She taught Egyptian studies at CAE. Anyhow, it fell through because the police were taking everybody. It was cheaper, and so everybody went with that woman. So we sat down at a Yalla Tours. They were somewhere in Swanston Street or St Kilda Road. And this woman did out a tour for me in Cairo, in Egypt. The most wonderful trip I've ever had. It was absolutely fantastic. I went to Cairo, to Jordan, to Israel, to Florence, and it was all done for me. And we had this other woman and I had the most wonderful, and we were taken around, not in a bus, but in a car with a driver. And I don't know whether you remember, the police went to Alexandra and there was an accident on the way back, and a few people were killed. It was a police tour.
Just recently,
years ago. Well, That was a stupid thing to do, to go from Cairo to Alexandria and back again in the one day is a ridiculous thing to do unless you've got a half a dozen drivers.
Right.
Our man, he took us to Alexandria. We stayed in a magnificent place in Alexandria overnight, and we came back the next day, and that's what you they should have done.
Yeah.
It was, look, this was just, and then Petra. Have you been to Petra? Oh.
So the world has a lot of ugliness in it, but there's still a lot of beauty as well.
Oh, yes. And Venice, oh, yes. And I was in Venice when that theatre burnt down. That famous theatre where Verdi first did that one. And I heard all of the... I could see the fellas, the firemen, they were all up in the... on the roofs because, you know, there's no water in... You've got to get the water out of the canals.
Mm.
And I could actually feel, when I opened the window, I could actually feel the heat of the fire.
Our time is almost up. But this question I'd like to ask you now, I've already said to you, I think you look very vital and short of you walking down the road and accidentally being hit by the local bus, hopefully you've still got a few more years left to go yet, because it seems to me you've got a few things still to say. But when that time does come and you pass away, because we all have to eventually.
Yes, that's right. Mm.
Yes, because it's not because necessarily going to be a pleasant future.
Yeah.
How would you like to be remembered by your family and friends? When they think back about Marie, how would you like them to think of you?
Oh, with laughter.
Oh, that's lovely.
Joy.
Yes, yes. Marie, thank you very much, not just for inviting me into your home and inviting the listeners into your home, but into your life. Mm. It's been a wonderful story you've taken us through, and thank you very much for being on Listen to Older Voices.
Oh, good.
Listen to Older Voices is produced by Rob Greaves at the Melbourne Community Support Program. Listen to Older Voices is supported by financial assistance from the Commonwealth Government through the Commonwealth Home Support Program and is brought to you through the Community Radio Network.